Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Andrea Vilches is a Florida-based photographer at the beginning of what promises to be an exciting career. Still 4 months away from graduation at the time of recording, she already boasts a portfolio of work from the NWSL, WNBA and MLS, not to mention recently taking grand prize in Club 11's North American Soccer Photograph of the Year contest. Nice one, Andrea. She shares her family journey from Nicaragua to Florida, how the game helped her adapt to life in a new country, and how picking up a camera for the first time opened up that same game in a way she hadn't seen before. Looking at her work, it's hard to believe that was a little over 3 years ago. Speaking with Andrea reminded me that you don't always necessarily need to look towards age and experience for inspiration. Her drive and attitude provided me with yet another timely reminder at a crossroads on my own path. Okay, Andrea, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Yeah, like, same.
You know, I was thinking before I came on, I don't know if you heard this joke that like somebody on Twitter said like a while ago that like Christian Pulisic is like the LeBron James of soccer.
Right, but yeah.
You're the LeBron James of podcasts. I know so many people who listen to NPLH and like all the like different people in the industry that I've been able to just like hear from, like has helped me a lot. Like in the past year, I think I started listening to your podcast. So I'm honored to be on here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. That's really nice of you to say. Thanks for sharing that. That will do my ego the world of good. I'll always take a compliment. It looks so sunny where you are.
I am in Florida. In Orlando. It is cold today. It's 50 degrees, like 10 Celsius. That's really cold here, but it's nice to not have like 90 degree weather, because that's basically every month of the year. So
yeah, no sympathy from me. We're in the depths of the British winter and yeah. It's dark out, so you can see I'm lit by a lamp already at 5 p.m. No sob stories on 93 days.
Can I ask you a quick question? I know you're the one who asked the questions, but I always wonder, like, why did you start like this podcast? When did you start it too?
Oh, okay, yeah, good question. So it started. This is the second round of it, I guess. It started in 2020.
During COVID? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a friend of MPLH called Charlotte Jukes, and she was speaking to women in influential positions within the game. It was something that I'd wanted to add to the stable, but didn't feel that I was right for it, I guess. Maybe not confident enough to do it at the time. And Charlotte did a great job. She spoke to some great people for 4 or 5 episodes. It fell by the wayside for whatever reason. And as the magazine became a bit more of a challenge to get out, my attention was coming more this way. I was learning that I enjoyed speaking to people and learning about people. It'd been under my nose all that time. So I decided to give it a go, yeah, and recorded the first episode of 2.0 in December 2022, ready for a January 2023 launch. And yeah, from there on, I've really grown to love it, which I wasn't expecting.
Like, I listened to a lot of the episodes, and I remember like the first time I listened to one was I think the one with Ethan White, who I had known, like, his work from before. And I listened to it on a plane. So I just, like, downloaded it on Spotify and, like, just listened to it. And it was just, like, so inspiring. Like, every conversation, like, you come away with something different. And it's, a lot of times, it's, like, nothing about football. So it's, like, really cool.
Yeah, that's kind of, it's fallen into that groove, really, that it's a football podcast that isn't about football. But, you know, we're all so much more than that, right? We all work in one way or another in the game, but it's not all we are. And so it's quite interesting to find out a little bit more about the person behind it, how they got there. It'll be interesting to learn why you've decided to throw yourself into the one of the most competitive markets going as a photographer.
Yeah, I feel like you and my mom had the same question. I'm originally from Nicaragua. I was born there, and like all my family's from there, my mom, my dad, in this little town in the border of Honduras, so it's like north. And yeah, me and my mom moved to Florida when I was 11 and with my stepdad. And so like I would say, I'm trying to think how to phrase this because I know my mom is going to listen to this. So I don't want to offend her. But it's like more of like a, you know, just like tradition, not super traditional, like just like immigrant like background. And like, you know, like I have to go to school, like I have to take my opportunities because like going back home is not really a great option. So the idea was just, you know, to like go to college and like major, to study like the best career I could find. But it ended up not being that. I was always more of a creative person anyways. And she's just like, was worried that like for my future, you know, like if I was her, like I would also be like, yeah, like I don't think, like I'm going to support you, but I don't know if like you have to make sure like you really want to do this. No, yeah, she was supportive. Both my stepdad and my mom were supportive. I can't say they weren't, but they were very skeptical. They were, I think, still sometimes trying to just like push me like into like, oh, are you sure you don't want to do like a master's degree? Are you sure you don't want to go to grad school? Are you sure you don't like marketing? You don't like, I don't know, being a doctor? Maybe you should pursue a PhD. But like, I think it was like a year ago or like, yeah, about a year ago when like I had a serious conversation with my mom and she finally kind of let go of just like, I think accepted that this is what I wanted to do and that I was serious about it. I wasn't just like, you know, just like fooling around or whatever. I was like, I can't see myself doing anything other than working in soccer specifically and as a photographer. So yeah, so I'm still in school. So I started photography while being in college in 2020, which I think was very helpful because I wasn't like in the quote unquote like real world yet. So I still had like to fall back in school. Like I still have like my scholarship. I'm not paying for like a lot of the things I'm gonna be paying in a few months, but yeah, so I think that part, just like being in college, has helped me a lot.
It's interesting then that maybe it was like your mum's version of the American dream, like not to movie, like Hollywood it a bit, but you know, it's like we moved to the United States and there's an idea in her mind of how things will go and what that means for you. And then you've decided you want to be a creative. I can imagine her thinking, this is not what we're here for. What was it like kind of delivering that decision to her? Were you feeling any nerves around that?
I guess it will help like a little bit of background. Like I've always loved football. my dad used to be a professional soccer player in Nicaragua, and he had me really young, like at 21, and I'm 22 now. But he would, like, literally as a baby, like since before I was born, I was, you know, in football, and I just grew up loving football. He would make sure I, like, watch games, take him to games, I remember being at, like, their practices and just like chilling. and football it's like big in Nicaragua too. Like, there weren't much of girls playing it, but my neighbors would play in the street. I would try to go as much as my grandma would let me go. I would play at school. One of my last years in Nicaragua, I think I was on like the one time we were able to, like, make a girls team at school and we would compete. But yeah, so, like, I grew up with, like, a lot of passion for football as a player and as a fan. And as I came here, I started to play in actual clubs, and, like, it was kind of like a lot of, like worlds opened up to me, because I didn't really know, like, women's soccer was, like an actual possibility in terms of, like, women playing soccer professionally until I got here. And just, like, my love for football, just as I was growing up and moving here, it grew. And I just kept playing here. And so it was, like, the only constant thing in my life, pretty much, football, because I went from, like, living with a huge family, like, 5 blocks away from my house. And, like, I could walk anywhere. I had a lot of friends. It was a very different culture than here. And then I had to learn a completely different language. It was just me, my mom, and my stepdad. So it was 3 people going from, like, 40 people to 3 people in one household. So that was very hard too. And I relied a lot on soccer and making new friendships through soccer. Like, a lot of my friends now were my teammates, or I've met them through this, from photographing or being a fan of soccer. So when I decided to just, like, take pictures, it was at my high school and also at Orlando Pride games from the stands when I used to go with my teammates. And then I just, like, started doing it. I, like, didn't think twice about it. I liked it, and I just started doing it, and I just kept doing it. I kept doing it, and it just led from one thing to another. I just feel like these past 3 years, like, they went by so fast, and it just felt like I put my head down and went to work. And like, my mom had no choice but to just, like, see it happen. Like, I'm still in school. My major is advertising and public relations. And I didn't want to, like, study photography in school, because, like, I understood what she was saying. Like, it's a very competitive field. Like, I could very much, like, starve to death, like, with no jobs. So I just wanted to make sure I had a good education to fall back on in case I had to pursue other jobs. But because I think she knew how much it meant to me and that I was, like, getting somewhere with it, she finally just, like, it was chill. It was cool. Obviously, it was way harder for her to move with her kid and her husband to a completely new country. I was at least at school, but she was, like, at home alone. Like, I had to put myself in her shoes. And so, like, obviously I understand what she's saying. And I also kind of have to think about that. Like, I can't, like, waste my opportunity. Like, not my cousins don't get this opportunity, for example. So I have to make sure I use it well. And I put myself and my family, because I don't do this just for myself. I do it for my family as well, and make sure I make them proud. And just, I guess live a good life in honor of them.
That's great levels of awareness at a young age. And I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just speaking from my own experience. And like at 22, not thinking about anyone else other than me. And I know a lot of people are like that. It's easy when you're young to just kind of see what's right in front of you. So to put yourself in your mum's shoes and kind of, see that perspective. It's like, that's an incredible level of maturity. But perhaps that comes from the fact that you were so tight-knit when you were back in Nicaragua and living as like in a unit, like a compact familial unit.
Yeah.
Maybe just more mature than anyone else.
Like family is, I would say, the biggest part of my life. Like I have, like my parents are divorced, but on both sides of my families, they're huge. Like it's so difficult because when I moved here, I would say like, oh, my cousin and like my classmate would be like, oh, like your third cousin, your fourth cousin. I was like, what? What is that? They're just my cousin. And sometimes, honestly, like I call uncles and like aunts and cousins to people that are not related to us as a blood family at all. But that's just like the way it is. And they're... both sides of my family are big and they're very like united. And I was raised with two of my cousins, my aunt and my grandma, in one house with my mom. So like I just feel like I was raised by so many people, like so many people influenced me, and then eventually like it got cut off and I moved here and it was just my mom. And like, it affected me a lot. Like, it just, I guess, it just, like, made me realize, like, how much I value my family. And once, like, that's taken from me, it's very hard to deal without them. So every time I go back to Nicaragua, like, we try to go every year, me and my mom, I just make sure, like, I'm present, like, with my family and that I enjoy the time I'm there with them.
Which one of those... many, many cousins, either blood related or just by name, do you think is responsible, if any of them, for like this kind of creative influence? You say you didn't get that from your parents, but you've picked something up from somewhere.
I think honestly my grandma, my mom and my grandma made sure like I was like involved in a lot of things. I don't know if like my grandma particularly liked that I was playing a lot of soccer or that I was just playing like with boys outside on the streets. So like she would put me, I remember she put me in guitar lessons and painting lessons, and I would just like draw for fun. And I'm not saying like I was like Picasso or something. Like I actually suck at painting and drawing, even though my mom would say no, but I would just enjoy that rather than, I don't know, like even as I was older, like I'm not a STEM girl, like a science girl, or I don't really like math either. I like reading. So I was just like, I always just like lean more towards the artistic side. And eventually, like because my mom had a camera of her own, I would just take it from now and then and just like play with it. It was nothing serious until eventually in high school I took an art class with some of my friends, and I don't know if this is good, but like we only took it because we knew it was gonna be easy and an easy A. And it was like that first year I took it was so fun because it was with a group of friends that I had and I'm so close with. And then at the end of the year, like two of them just decided to take another class because like they were done with it. But I was like, you know what? Like, I love it. I'm going to take it again, even though I can't paint well or I can't draw well. Like when I had the choice to choose my medium, it would be photography or cinematography. And that's when I really started to experiment with that. And I wasn't taking it that seriously. But to a degree, I was, because it was my grade, you know? And I needed to research a little bit about it, research other photographers, make projects and stuff. So yeah, that's how it kind of started.
So it opened up a world to you from there that felt very much at home, I guess.
Yeah.
So how do you go from 18, and this is reminding me of another conversation, I don't know if you listened to this episode with
Matthew.
I know Matthew.
Yeah, I love him.
And this trajectory, it just is reminding me, it's like equally as quick, that the quality of work that you produce after a short amount of time taking photos. I mean, a lot of people take photographs for much, much longer than 3 years and don't produce the caliber that you're putting out over there. So there's obviously a natural flair for that, which is always a bonus. But how does that trajectory happen so rapidly in those 3 years? Like, you're going to Pride and you're shooting from the stands, is that right?
Yeah. The funny thing is that it wasn't until like 2 years later from being in the stands that I was able to go on the field because COVID.
So, oh, you were stuck in the stands, that was it.
Yeah. So, but I was actually remembering, like, I have really bad memory, so like yesterday I was thinking about like our call, right? So I was just trying to remember, like, you know, my past life. Like, I'm not trying to sound like I'm like, you know, 50 years old. I'm literally 22. But like, yeah, I was just remembering the good old days.
There were no responsibilities, just, you know, so easy.
Right. Yeah. But it was with one teammate that I went to this Pride game, and I took my mom's camera with me, and it was a Canon 6 or Rebel T6i, I think, and with a 75-300 millimeter, and I don't think stadiums are allowed like to bring in any cameras anymore, like for fans, and I don't think, I mean, not think, I knew then, because I read the website, that I wasn't allowed to bring in what I was gonna bring in, but I just took the risk, and I was just hoping like security would like see me. I was like, oh please, like I just want to take pictures. And the security guard that I gave my camera to, so I could like go through the scanner or whatever, she looked at it like it was like this weird thing. She was like, oh, here. I was like, oh thanks. So I just like walked right in. But yeah, that was like very lucky. And I think that was like, I only took pictures at games like one or two times, but yeah. And then I, after that, like I showed my friend who was in art class with me, who's like one of the most talented people I know to this day, the pictures. And she was like, oh, like these aren't bad. Like maybe this could be your thing, like taking like sports photos. And when she said that, I was like, are you serious? Like, it was such a like high compliment coming from her. And it was also like something clicked in my head. And it was like, oh my God, like, yeah, like this could be it. Like, I love it. So I just started doing it more at my high school games and doing a lot. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, obviously, like, I couldn't do anything. And I was, like, having a whole, like, existential crisis. Like, it was horrible. Like, my graduation got cut short. I didn't really finish senior year of high school. And then I had to go to college in a few months. So it was all, like, very, like, what is going on? And by the time, like everything kind of started to open up again and there were games, I had already made like an Instagram account, and some people had like reached out about if I could shoot for them. And so I started shooting, like, Orlando Pride games or in the city games, for them. And I just kept doing it, and I knew like the most important thing was practice. So I got an internship with my university as well as a photographer for the athletics program. And I was like at every game, like every basketball game, every soccer game, I wouldn't say every football game because actually I'm not a fan of football, like American football. So I try not to go too much, but
it's a lot more time consuming.
Oh yeah. Don't get me started on that. Like, but yeah, like it's just, I was also just going through like a really like horrible time, like mental health wise. Like I was stuck in a room with this other person who I got along with, like she was my roommate, but we weren't friends, if that makes sense. Like there was nothing wrong, but I didn't have anybody. I was like completely isolated. My mom, my stepdad, they were in Atlanta because they had moved there. So they were like 7 hours away from me. And all my high school friends went to different schools. Nobody was near me. So it was super tough to focus on my, I would say like my life, like my personal life. Also, I stopped playing soccer. So that outlet was gone too. And it was like also my only source of exercise, which is like very important just for your well-being and mental health. So I relied a lot on my work from that moment on. I just worked every game and I was enjoying it, but I put all my energy on that and I didn't think twice about it. And I would just post on Instagram, go to the next game and repeat it like for the next 2 years after. And I like I said, practice like makes perfect. So that was like the most important thing. I think that's the reason my eye got better, my editing skills got better, just repetition. Yeah.
So in some ways, like the difficult spell. So you're away from your family, you're away from friends, and you are not able to, I guess, your outlets have been put on hold for as long as they were. That seems like another life ago now. Just got some shudders thinking about that period.
I hate it. I hate it. PTSD.
Yeah. So as soon as the doors are open again, so to speak, you've just taken that opportunity to play catch up, I guess. Like you're more determined at that point than ever to knuckle down into this. Do you think that the isolation that came with the pandemic kind of maybe built up a bit of a resilience for you, just because photography is an independent pursuit, right? You've grown up playing team sports, you've grown up in a massive family unit, and then your chosen career path is very much just you, and there's no one to kind of rely on but yourself in that moment. So I guess what I'm getting at, or the thread I'm trying to pull on, is that was maybe, although not an ideal situation, good training for the path you're about to take. And it's giving you that kind of steeliness to be like, okay, I'm going to the next game. You're like sacrificing. You're not sacrificing your social life completely, but you've become a bit bloody minded.
Oh, I was, trust me.
So you're like, you've got this kind of bloody minded attitude about you, where you're like, I know, this is what I've got to do to get better. And you're throwing yourselves into various sports. I'm interested to hear how you think photographing other sports has influenced you as a soccer photographer.
The interesting thing is that I started photography because of football. Like, I started because it was like, I always knew I wanted to work in soccer, in some way, shape, or form. Like when I was younger, I used to play, oh, I'm going to be a professional soccer player. That definitely like did not work out at all. But I just had this feeling like I can't, like I'm really passionate about this thing. I can't let it go. And like it's in my gut. And once I found that I could like join these two things together, like photography and soccer, which is another thing I like, it was like my mind was blown. And it was like immediately it was like, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm meant to do. But I wasn't that serious about photography separate from soccer. I don't know if that makes sense. So it was kind of weird because I was focusing on the soccer, not so much on the photography. And then as the years went on, I started to realize like, okay, that's kind of disrespectful to the art of photography. Like I fell in love with photography like after the fact of starting it, which is kind of weird because I was already like a photographer. And I think that's why my work got so much better. I started to really understand the art form of it rather than just like looking at it as a medium, I guess, like as a tool. And I started to just follow like more photographers that don't focus on soccer, like street photographers, just like even like war photographers, like documentary photography and stuff like that. And from that point on, I just like I appreciated it as an art. And like basketball is a completely different game than soccer. Like I think to this day, like I'm not very good at photographing basketball. It's very different, and I struggle with it. I don't know if it's like because it's very quick and it's so much smaller. And I have less time to like compose the image and that. So I have like more trouble showing the feeling of basketball than in soccer too. I don't know. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe I just need to get more comfortable. But at the same time, I shot a lot of basketball. Football, American football, it's also very different. And the funny thing about the American football is that I could be sitting there for like 30 minutes and there's like I'm still waiting for the ball to get close to me or to anything to happen. But
cancel like, your evening plans, the game's still playing.
Exactly. But yeah, and also like just like editing as well, like and different lighting and yeah, like I just feel like the more you shoot, like the better you become, like in any given situation.
And maybe like the way you're describing your experiences of shooting basketball there, and like capturing the emotion of the game and things like that, is because maybe that's not where your heart is. It's easier for you to tune into the heart of a soccer game than it is. So you can see the shot and that, you know, you get the shots, but then and you know, become technically sound, but yeah, maybe you just
it's care. Weird because I love basketball. Like if any other sport could compete with my love for soccer, it would be basketball.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it's like it's still like, you know, like a huge gap in between.
Yeah, them. Yeah.
But yeah, like for example, I used to shoot a lot of WNBA games in Atlanta, and I loved it so much. At some point I was like, maybe I could also be like a photographer in the WNBA. I could become a WNBA photographer. But yeah, I think that helped me a lot in terms of like searching for that emotion, because I care a lot about women's sports, and I was able to kind of gauge like the emotion of those games, and I was more familiar with it. So at the end, I think I did improve, but it's not exactly the same as a football game.
How did you find the jump from like the amateur, like high school / college level to then being courtside at WNBA, for example, or NWSL games? Like, are there nerves involved in that, or have you shot enough that you're like, I know what I'm doing here?
I think at the beginning, like the biggest thing for me now is that I stopped caring about so many things. like I just don't care anymore.
I think we've got a social media clip there. There's our first reel.
Like, I just care about the important things now, like the things that actually matter. When I started doing this, obviously, like, I began as a fan. Like, I was a soccer fan, first of all, years before I was even a photographer. So, of course, I'm gonna be like, ooh, like, ah, like, oh my God, that's Marta. That's, I don't know, Kaka on the sideline or whatever. So I think I had to get over that in the first, I think, maybe 1.5 seasons, maybe 1 season, 2 seasons that I started shooting as a credentialed photographer. And I was also, like, really young, so I'm going to give myself some, like...
Yeah, you can be forgiven for kind of, like, you know,
yeah,
being a bit gooey around your heroes. That's okay.
Right. So, like... when that, like, just, like, how do you say it, was over, I started caring more about the art of photography and football and how I was portraying the players, how I was portraying the fans and the game in general, because obviously the players are part of the game, but that's not just it. Like, it's about the emotion. It's about the people. And that's, like, the biggest thing that's, like, been a game changer for me this past year. Since I got so many opportunities this year, I'm not necessarily focusing on, like, the biggest star in the field, like, or, like, action shots necessarily. And also, like, I think another thing was that I stopped caring about Instagram. Like, at some point in 2022, I think, I completely, like, stopped posting for a few months. I don't know if because I was burned out. I used to shoot a game, and then the very next morning, I would post on Instagram. And I, looking back now, I'm like, why? Like, that's so tiring. Like, why did I do that? And I was like, oh, like, I need to be the first one of the photographers to post this. I need everybody to see my photos first. Like, I'm gonna get more attention first if I put them out first. And it was so exhausting and also, like, so pointless. And I realized that after, and during that period of when I wasn't posting, I felt so much relaxed. Like, I still do, I guess, sometimes get a lot of anxiety from social media and kind of, how do you say, like, the way people view me on social media. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Like, just so I just, like, when I stopped posting, I was like I wasn't there. And then I also changed the way I edited photos, and once I did that, it would take me longer to post my photos, and I cared more about the quality of my photos than like the amount of time it took me to post. So once I stopped caring about that, caring about, like, who I was shooting, now it's just like I can go anywhere and do my job and do it well.
It's kind of similar in some ways, going back to what you said earlier on, post-pandemic, of just getting your head down, going to game after game after game and shooting. Coming away from social media is effectively the same thing as committing yourself to the craft in those days. You're kind of not performing to what is essentially a bunch of strangers online that can't impact your career in any meaningful way. You're producing the work, you're delivering it to the people that you've gone there to produce it for. You're developing your editing skills, improving yourself along the way for the longevity of your career rather than a quick like on Instagram the next day. And for like it's so easy to get caught up in that. You're so right. Like to just, it does that to you. It just, you think like you want to be the first to post. It's like it plays on our egos.
Yeah.
I want people to know I was there shooting that game. Boom, there's my image. Oh, maybe I could have spent a bit more time on the crop or on the, on the edit, on the treatment. And same experience, a lot of the same with the magazine. I would get the same thing and you'd see another magazine come out a few weeks before you've got your issue coming out that you spent 3 months working on, and there's like one crossover in stories and you're like, oh no, like you think it's ruined the issue. It hasn't. Like you just, but social media can make you definitely feel like you're not doing enough.
Right. And also, like, I feel like a lot of that is, it's like the reason why now people view like even photography as like, or art as like content now. Like that's a whole nother conversation. But it's just,
that means a lot to you, I can tell.
It's just like,
I fired you up.
No, yeah, it's just like once I stopped caring about posting on Instagram for the people who follow or who will view my work there, I think it was like a famous cinematographer or producer who I saw say this like a while ago, that like good work is work that you make for yourself, not for like the validation of other people. And that was like the realest like thing like I had heard in a while back then, because like my work started to really like take off once I stopped caring about all those things that I had mentioned before. Like, I'm not making this for content. Like, I don't want to make this for content. It's totally okay to do that. Like, if people do that, that's fine. Like, that's part of social media. That's part of how the world works now. But I want to make this for, like, art, I guess. Like, in a way that football is being seen, like, not just as a, like, a quick, like, content, whatever. I don't know if I'm making sense. Like, I don't even know where I'm going.
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Yeah, if you're shooting just to churn it out and, yeah, if you're shooting just to churn it out, put it online for people to see, you're not really kind of, I mean, some people may be able to do that, but, yeah, I think the general consensus would be that you're not really going to be getting the most out of it for you.
Right.
And if you're not getting the most out of it for you, people are not seeing the best of you. And that's what you want to share, right? And you've got to think of your body of work that you're producing. You want that to be a reflection of where you are at that point, and that'll evolve over time as well, no doubt. But yeah, you don't want your body of work to just kind of exist solely for the likes, and it will show,
and
right?
Sometimes that is like the job. Like, I get hired basically most of the time for that, but it's like I can do both things. I think I've gotten really good at pleasing like the client, and also I guess myself, like for my own like conscience,
yeah,
and for the overall kind of work I want to do. And like, I haven't had a problem where like the work I want to do doesn't also like work for the client. So
yeah,
I've heard like some photographers have had to like compromise. Luckily, like I haven't like gone through that yet.
Yeah, one shot for them, one shot for you, right? If that crossover doesn't exist and you're there for a paycheck, there's no shame in that.
Right.
But whilst you're there, see what you can get for yourself and your own portfolio in the process. So you are a few months away from graduating, yeah?
Yes, in May.
In May. In May. Yeah. So what is the plan?
There is no plan.
There is no great plan.
Again, what all of my family members ask me every time they see me, but there is...
Maybe it's more out of excitement now for what you're going to do next rather than fear for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's
maybe
both.
Maybe not with your mum. Maybe your mum is genuinely scared about what you're
going to
do.
Yeah, my mom is probably terrified. But I... Hopefully, it's looking promising that I go to the Olympics in the summer. So that's, I'm counting on that. And it's not after graduation now, it's after the Olympics. Like, what am I going to do after the Olympics? And simple answer is, I don't know.
That's really interesting, because then before you know it, like, it could be after the Olympics and then after XYZ, I don't know. This is where it starts. But you're graduating and then you're going to Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like you're going to be all right, I think. I think you're going to be okay. I think you might have this figured out.
Yeah.
So are you going to be there the whole month?
The plan is to be with the men's national team for the US. So however long they're there.
A nice 2-day holiday to Paris is, it's not bad.
I plead the fifth.
Are you stepping out your comfort zone a little bit there in shooting men's football? I know, like, the game is the game, but you've expressed a preference and a kind of a love for women's football.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, ultimately I want to work in women's football internationally, like, not just here in the US. Like, I think women's football, like, has a long way to go in terms of, like, the creativity in how they're portraying the football, the game. But like you said, like, football is football. Like, I'm gonna love it even if it's men. And and I mean, my favorite team is the men's, the Liverpool men's team. So I shoot a lot of, like, men's football. It's not very much different. I just had a lot more, I would say, like, with the NWSL, they were, like, the first ones to really give me full access, like, on pitch level, and that, like, changed. That was very important for me, like, to get that experience, and hopefully I get to do it again this next season. But yeah, like, stepping out of my comfort zone, I am, like, I've been, I guess this last year was a test, because I'm, like, very anxious person socially. If I'm, like, with a lot of people, like, I would probably not say a word unless you approach me. Like, I'm much more comfortable being one-on-one with a player than being, like, with a whole team. So that first camp that I did with the men's national team, or with the U23 team, it was very hard because I didn't know anybody, and it was like 30 new people. And I was like the youngest out of everybody, and I was just, you know, it was like a big gig too. So it was very hard to, like, remain, how do you say, just, like, to keep my anxiety in check.
Do you draw any confidence though from the fact that you are there? And that, you know, you wouldn't be there if you weren't good enough to do the gig, as big as it is. Like, you're there for a reason. It's just, yeah, such a competitive field, and there's not many spaces at those events, right? And you're in one of them.
That is crazy. I don't take too much time to think about, like, everything that I've accomplished, I guess. So I guess no, I don't take that comfort. Definitely not in the moment. I talked to, like, mentors and my boyfriend, and it's always like after the fact of everything happened, it's like I get to calm down. Maybe because I'm out of the situation and the environment.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I just realized what I've done. I just realized what
right, I've been yeah. doing. Yeah. And it's always like, damn, like I wish I would have been like let myself enjoy it a little bit more. Not that I wasn't enjoying it, I was. But it's like sometimes like you need to calm down. Like get serious. Like you're okay. You're here for a reason. People want you in this position. They trust you. You're good.
Yeah.
So it's easier said than done for sure. But that's just, you know, that's just anxiety.
Yeah, and that will manage, like you'll manage that like more comfortably in time as well, right? The more, and it's something that you said on here before, but the more you stack up that evidence, the harder it is to ignore the fact that you are like able to do this and you handle these situations well, otherwise people wouldn't be asking you. And it goes back a little bit to the churning workout quickly just to get it up on Instagram so people see it and know you are there. Like what's more important is what you're doing in the background and the relationships you're fostering with the people that you're being assigned these jobs by, right? And
yeah,
that's the important thing. So you could in theory not post another image on Instagram for the rest of the year if you're
right.
giving them what they want and you're, you know, building your portfolio in the background. So it's the relationships, I guess what I'm saying, are the in real life relationships are the important thing here. Sure, people will see you online and fight, and you know, you'll get work that way, but you're already building that network. And man, you're going to the Olympics, that feels bonkers.
I'm pretty sure it's like 90% like sure.
That's good enough. Is that something that, I guess not, maybe not, but is that something that you've, well, even look, so 90%, 10%, whatever, if it does or doesn't happen, the fact that those conversations are happening, do you even think like, well, 3 years ago I was just decided to just have a little play around with a camera,
right?
And now I might be going to the Olympics.
I mean, I did have a situation with the Women's World Cup last year where it was looking very promising that I was gonna go, and then it was kind of like a, like, you're not going. And that was very hard, like, to swallow. But then again, it was like, I was talking to my mom, and my mom was so excited for me. And, like, she always tell me, like, even if it doesn't happen, like, the fact that you are being asked to go and do that, that's amazing. And that's, like, my biggest, not my biggest dream, but, like, one of my goals. And one of my dreams has always been to be at a World Cup. When I was like 11, it was because I wanted to play in a World Cup, but dreams change. And now I want to photograph a World Cup. And so I was really close to making that dream happen, but it didn't. And it was just because, you know, it wasn't the time. But yeah, just the fact that I was that close to making it true, it's motivating and it's reassuring for sure.
There's like value in everything, right? And if you get to the World Cup and you shoot that and you would have been, what, 21 at the time, maybe the experience is lost on you a little bit there. But with the disappointment of not going there, when that opportunity comes around again, it tastes that little bit sweeter because you've experienced the kind of the near miss of it. Maybe learned a little lesson in the way that things don't all along the way rather that things don't always kind of work out the way we want them to, but it's better for the character in the long run that happens.
I'm a big believer that like everything happens for a reason, like everything. And that summer, I had so many opportunities. I met so many different people. And like my biggest takeaway from last year was like the people that I met and the relationships that I made. if I had gone to the World Cup, of course, like, I could have met, like, other set of people, other different types of people, you know, still, like, make relationships. But yeah, a lot of these things that I did in the summer wouldn't have happened. And I think, like, the journey that I went on was very important for me and got me so many opportunities. And I was able to just, like, become a better photographer off of them. So it was, like, very important for me to stay here because so many things were happening in the U.S. In the summer for football. So I'm glad. It was, like, a blessing in disguise. So I'm glad I was here for it.
Yeah, and touching on what you've just said there, I think that's probably a really neat bow to wrap this up in that everything happens for a reason. Your goal was to go to a World Cup, and you said initially as a player, but maybe that was never ever the plan. Maybe it was always going to be with a camera in your hand.
Definitely never on the field.
expressing yourself creatively rather than athletically. Much more in tune with where you're supposed to be. I think this really, it's nothing short of impressive, really, that you've achieved that much in such a short amount of time. It does kind of make me wonder what I've been doing with my life for the past 20 years.
What do you mean? You're the LeBron James of podcast.
Thanks, I was fishing there. Thanks for repeating that. Just for anyone that missed that at the start, Andrea's just confirmed that for us. I'll be dining out on that for a long while. Thanks for that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, maybe I can make a t-shirt and send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Andrea, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Really excited to see what comes post-graduation, whether that's the Olympics or not, or the next World Cup, whatever it is. It'll be great to see.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And yeah, thanks for sharing those stories about your family as well. It's kind of...
Of course.
It's a pleasure it's quite personal stuff. And you know, the struggles that you've encountered along the way.
It's all part of the story. So.
This is it. Life isn't easy, but, you know, you keep going, keep working. It seems like you've got that work ethic.
Exactly. Thank you for having these conversations with everybody. It's like as a young photographer, just hearing from all of the guests that you've had, like, my mentality has changed. Like, I'm not like just saying this to tell you I'm being so serious. Like, those conversations, like, really help. So thank you for having this platform.
I really appreciate that. It's great to know that it's having an impact beyond the benefits I get from it, you know. So that's really great to hear. Thanks for sharing that. One more question. Let's just try something out. Mm-hmm. If there was someone you would want on here, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? I guess, like, one of my favorite photographers, Matthew Stiff.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put that out because I've been asking him for about 6 months. Yeah.
Maybe,
we're going
to
post
maybe
this.
Maybe I'll try to convince him.
Nice one. Enjoy the rest of your day in the perfectly mild Orlando climate. And it looks like I'll be getting ready for bed now. It's pitch black.
Have a good night.
Take it easy.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button, and I'll see you next time.